If you're anything like I was, the thought of getting older was the last thing on your mind. But here we are. For me, it started slowly. The lack of energy. Never being in the mood. And when I was, I could never perform at my best. I tried the pills and other treatments with minimal results, and all but given up on my sex life. Then, I found the doctors at New Mayo Medical Center. Wow, they made a new male out of me. Feel like I'm 25 again. I have renewed vigor, so much more energy, and no longer worry about my performance. New Mayo treated me like my situation was one of a kind. With a custom treatment plan that really works, I feel great. They can create one for you too. It does not matter if you suffer from low testosterone, erectile dysfunction, or just want to last longer. New Mayo will help you.
Call New Mayo Medical Center today at 847-852-4144. That's 847-852-4144. 847-852-4144. It will change your life. 847-852-4144.
5th and Cicero, or at WEBBChevy.com.
The whole town's talking about the Webb boys.
Get to Webb Chevy in Plainfield by Monday. Qualify and get 0% financing for 72 months on most new Chevys in stock. Webb Chevy in Plainfield is on Route 30 or at WEBBChevyPlainfield.com.
As Bears training camp continues, keep it locked on the Score to hear your favorite shows, live training camp reports, Bears experts, players, coaches, and more right here on Chicago's home for Bears fans. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR and HD Chicago, WJMK HD2 Chicago. Scoreboard update.
From the Score Update studio, I'm Nick Shepkowski. Something to worry about in Bourbon A for Bears fans. Kevin White still not practicing. Today, John Fox says he's still unsure when the rookie wide receiver will debut at camp. That's if at all we see White at camp. Today, Alshon Jeffrey sat out of practice due to the shoulder injury he suffered over the weekend. He's expected to be back in action tomorrow. Defensive back Alan Ball sat out today with a Brian Vogler left practice today with a foot injury. As for the future of one Jay Cutler, the Chicago Tribune's Brad Biggs was on this morning with Mully and Hanley and addressed just how John Fox has addressed that so far.
Fox is doing a smart thing by sort of steering the conversation away from that or taking some of the pressure off of that, but I know this, when the season starts, you know, the storylines are going to be back on Jay. The focus is going to be back on Jay, because as they rebuild this defense, that's good, it's necessary, it's an important part of turning this franchise around. But to be a contender on a regular basis, you've got to have a quarterback.
Team now gets Tuesday off from practice. They return to the practice fields on Wednesday. After a four-game sweep in Milwaukee over the weekend, the Cubs are 10 games over 500. That's the first time they've been that far above 500 since the summer of 2008. They're in Pittsburgh tonight for the first of three at PNC. John Lester, Francisco Liriano in the pitching matchup. White Sox make a move today. Outfielder Trace Thompson on his way up from AAA Charlotte to make his big league debut. He's the brother of Golden State Warrior Clay and replaces Scott Carroll, who was optioned down over the weekend. Sox in Tampa tonight at U.S. Cellular. Jose Quintana and Nathan Carnes in the pitching matchup there. This scoreboard update is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai Algonquin's August sales event that's going on right now. And football fans, tune into The Score next week to help Tito's Handmade Vodka find the best football bar in Chicago. I'm Nick Shepkowski, and you're listening to the radio home for White Sox baseball. Next game on The Score tonight at 6:35 when the Sox take on the Rays on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Oh, baby!
Lynn Casper.
Gone! Cubs win!
Chicago Cubs play-by-play man.
Cubs win! A complete game, two hitters for Jake Arrieta.
All the latest news and notes from the Cubs.
It is gone! Jorge Soler. Got home! Schroeder's done it again!
Casper.
The other thing about Arrieta, not to go all hawk on you, but he may have the best posture of any pitcher I've ever seen.
Lynn Casper with Boers and Bernstein on 670 The Score.
At 203 Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, Boers and Bernstein. Indeed, yeah, we get to talk a little more Cubs with our guy.
He's on the Grossinger Lincolnwood hotline. Find over 4,000 vehicles at grossingerdeals.com. Follow him on Twitter at Lynn Casper. Hello, Lynn Casper.
Hello, Dan Bernstein. Hi, Terry.
How are you, Len?
I'm doing great. This is the kind of week we've been waiting for a long time. Games against teams you're competing with. Pirates, Cubs are four back for the top wild card spot, and tied with the Giants. We'll see them on Thursday, and I feel like it's kind of all set up here with a pretty healthy ball club. Should get Miguel Montero back at some point, probably when we get back to Wrigley Field, and some good pitching matchups as well.
Well, it was a nice time to run into a reeling Milwaukee team that allowed Anthony Rizzo to get healthy, allowed Clayton Richard to pitch well, allowed some bullpen guys to get some lower leverage opportunities. All in all, that's what they talk about, a team getting well. It's not necessarily just in the standings. There's some individuals that also can try to find more of the rhythm that some had before the break.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. And while the big picture, the overall, we continue to talk about the incredible amount of young talent, position player-wise, the Cubs have. When you look at the micro right now, it is about the offense. I don't think anybody out there could really complain about the pitching. The starting pitching has been among the elite in the National League all year.
Yep.
The bullpen's had its ups and downs, but, man, you get Tommy Hunter in exchange for Junior Lake. That is a really astute kind of under-the-radar move. The best part of the trades the Cubs made, and maybe the trades they didn't make last week, is that they gave up zero of their assets moving forward. And I know that was a big part of it. There were some people externally who wanted the Cubs to go for broke, and if they had to give up some big names from the minor league system, the fans were certainly willing to do that. But I just don't think this front office was willing to do that. It wasn't about the money they would have had to spend. I think it was about young top, you know, of the line, high ceiling prospects, and they just aren't in a position right now to give those guys up.
And it's kind of, you know, Len, even in the bigger picture, it's silly to say you have to go for broke with this team. I mean, why do you have to go for broke at this point? I understand that it's still a development stage and a great development, and the Cubs are doing it the right way. Why make a mistake that you may regret down the road for years to come, or say, well, we're going for broke? You don't need to go for broke.
You're absolutely right, Terry, and a lot of this, to me, is evaluating how this young club handles being in a race. Having Joe Maddon here helps a lot. I think he's taken pressure off these kids. But, yeah, let's see Bryant and Soler and even Rizzo go through all of this really for the first time. I mean, think about Anthony Rizzo and Starlin Castro. This is the first time they've been on a team with a record of 10 games above 500. And we talk about the window opening up now and being open for a long time. There just was no reason at this point to go against everything that this front office has espoused really since the day Theo took over.
Montero's your catcher when he comes back, period, right?
Well, I mean, Ross is going to start with Lester. I think Miguel will get most of the time otherwise. You'll see Schwarber in left. You've got three games coming up later this month on the south side, so you'll have DH opportunities. In the end, while you don't ever want to be without your number one catcher, it did allow them to get Schwarber to this level, to see that he's comfortable behind the plate. He's got work to do, we know that, but I think everybody here is encouraged by what they see from him and the fact that he can play a little left field. He's been out there a couple of days, and it's been pretty uneventful, but you just really want to have that bat in the lineup. So I think he's here to stay. He's here to stay this year. And, you know, whether they look to move Montero in the offseason remains to be seen. But Kyle Schwarber's not going anywhere.
Addison Russell's offense has picked up since the break. I know that John Mailey's been working on trying to hone that timing mechanism in his swing, trying to get him loaded, trying to maybe add a little bit of a kick as an ignition mechanism. And so far, so good. You know, you can think, here's a guy who's only 21 years old. If even there's a minor incremental improvement that could be starting here, it's a big deal, as you mentioned, for this offense right now.
Dan, the quality, not only the quantity of interesting young players, but just the amount of them is incredible. I sit there every day, and JD and I have all these in-depth conversations off the air, and I say, you know, when it's all said and done, Schwarber may be the best hitter of the bunch. And then I go, is it possible Addison Russell could maybe be the best player of the bunch when you consider the defense he's displayed so far at second base? What's his future defensively? Will he move over to short at some point or stay at second? Then you go, Chris Bryant is putting up some really good rate stats, and he has not even scratched the surface. It's it's kind of breathtaking to watch. And while we've got a long way to go with these kids, the fact that most, if not all of them, are league average or slightly above that type players, and how high the ceiling is for all of them, it's pretty remarkable. And we haven't seen Javier Baez yet. And I still haven't given up on Albert Almora. I know it has not come as quickly for him as it has for a lot of these other kids. But
you can't give up on him with a guy whose makeup is said to be what his
is. That's exactly
is.
Right. That's exactly right, Dan. And that's the part of it you can't teach. You can teach a lot of other things. You can improve in a lot of other areas. But the makeup part of it is impossible to teach. And what we're seeing now with each prospect that comes to the big leagues is how that character does matter. It matters a lot to the Cubs, and that goes back to their scouting and their methods. And they don't just look at numbers. There may be this misnomer out there that this front office simply looks at on-base percentage and slugging percentage. Those things matter, but it's the makeup of the player, the coachability, all of those things, to me, are part of what makes a player talented.
Yeah, I don't, personally, I don't ever want to see another Cub game where Schwarber isn't in the lineup.
Well,
that's just me.
Against Liriano, but it'll be pretty rare. You're right.
I mean, I look at it and I say, look, there might be some time in here where he starts to look more like a rookie, but he always refuses to, Len. I mean, it just doesn't. I mean, maybe defensively, sure, he struggles with some of that, but at the plate, not a bit. It's like he's been there his entire life in major league pitching.
Well, as we look forward, guys, with this lineup and when Montero gets back.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to put a little more pressure, I think, on a guy like Jorge Soler to continue to produce. You could see him possibly being taken out of the lineup against certain right-handers, because if you put Schwarber out in left, Chris Coughlin's put together a really nice year, and Joe likes the platoon thing.
Mm-hmm.
You could see Coughlin move over to right. That helps out your bench. There have been times this year where you felt like you could just use another bat on the bench. Well, by getting Montero back, you know, Schwarber, then, if he's not in the lineup, becomes part of that mix off the bench. Starlin Castro, I think, in the next 2 or 3 weeks, he's going to start to lose some playing time as well if he doesn't kind of get it going offensively. We're reaching the point where reputations, egos, service time, none of that stuff really matters. It's just going to come down to the mad scientist with the developing beard, which has not yet thrown in all the way.
Yeah, it's not happening.
letting him do what he wants to do on a daily basis. And I really think that this front office is going to let Joe have at it, and you're going to see some interesting lineup combinations.
What I like about watching Schwarber, too, is watching him take pitches and also seeing that he doesn't have to do what others do with two strikes. It's exactly what they're working with Javier Baez on right now. I am told they've been showing him tape, and Manny Ramirez has been working with him, actually showing him tape of Manny with two strikes. And what Rizzo does with two strikes, when Rizzo, he won't kick that leg like he does. He will get a little longer look. He doesn't put as much behind the swing, more compact, more closed, and that Baez is getting that. Schwarber is so quick to the ball, and that he's able to start his swing so late that he can still generate big power. Maybe he is cutting down, and I just
can't tell.
It's not obvious to the eye,
yep.
But it looks to me like the same damn swing because he can.
Yeah, and the strength is just off the charts. I mean, the home run Rizzo hit the other night, and he's hit so many this week, I can't remember the specific one, but it just looked like this effortless batting practice swing, and he hit this towering,
upper deck
second
one, yeah.
deck shot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's remarkable how much strength he has, and young players sometimes probably don't understand completely that you don't have to hit a ball 500 feet. You can hit it 398, but if you hit it in the right spot, it's still going to count the same. And that's to me the transition for Javi. And I haven't seen him a lot. Obviously, he's been in the minor leagues, but I've looked at his numbers, and it looks like the strikeouts are down. That's a very good sign. Right now, there's no reason to kind of interrupt that development. They don't need him at this level. I would imagine we'll see Matt Caesar or Mike Olt here this week until Montero is ready. But Javier Baez is going to have something to say about this season. I think he's going to be here at some point not too far down the road and may get an opportunity to play. As you guys recall, Joe Maddon really liked what he saw from Baez in spring training. And this is the other thing fans need to know. He is not an out-of-control player. At times he's had an out-of-control swing and approach at the plate. He's a baseball player. He's instinctual. It's shortstop. He gets it. And I think that's the only part of his game that seems out of control. He's not out of control on defense at all.
He's also not out of control emotionally. And what had been discussed, I know privately with the Cubs, they're big on that too, on the way you react to the negative and how you can try to turn a negative into a positive. It has it shows in how you talk to your coaches afterwards and how you bring your failure to work or not and how you use it. And what I was told is Castro is still a guy who battles the nature of baseball in dealing with failure and in making sure his emotion is progressive instead of reactive. The Junior Lake was another guy that similarly, they always wondered about Junior Lake, whether or not he could channel some of that emotion. I'm told that Schwarber's a guy who they just love the fact that if something goes badly, if somebody gets him, his attitude is, okay, all right, I see that now. I've seen that. I'm learning, and you're not going to get me on that next time. And similarly, Bryant is studious in that regard, that he's able to understand and metabolize failure.
Yeah, well, you're talking to the right people because that's what I get too, Dan. So a couple of notes on Baez. Remember last year when he came up? You know, I know for a fact that not only did they believe that he deserved the opportunity to get here, but they really felt that no matter what happened,